Blog Talk Radio.
So, there's a book.
Center of
Hello?
Yes, hello.
Oh,
you're on,
okay,
dear.
I couldn't hear you. Okay. All right. I'm sorry about that. Welcome, everybody, to Spirit Life Network and Wounded No More is the show tonight. And I'm Vanessa Carver. Tonight we will be talking about issues of the heart. This is an intro to basically giving you an idea or for the rest of the year and the things that I will be covering. This is one of the things that God has been dealing with me about. We're going to be talking about New Age and how it has infiltrated the church. We're going to talk about abuse of authority and leadership spiritually and naturally. We're going to be talking about trauma. And I've even titled the trauma section called The Deliverance Remix. So we're going to go deep into some topics. I'm also going to have some fillers and be teaching on rejection, unforgiveness, and anger. Bishop Cook and I had a very brief conversation about anger towards God, something she taught on yesterday. And then the center of my joy, which is a song that just got done playing, and I immediately was thinking, well, what is joy in 2021 to those in the body of Christ, to servant leaders? But let's talk about the issues of the heart. I'm going to take this scripture from St. Luke 6, and I'm going to read verses 43, and this is Jesus speaking, verses 43 to 45. For no good tree bears bad fruit, nor again does a bad tree bear good fruit. For each tree is known by its own fruit. For figs are not gathered from thorn bushes, nor are grapes picked from a bramble bush. And this is the highlight verse I wanted to speak upon. The good person out of the good treasures of his heart produces good. And the evil person out of his evil treasure produces evil. For out of the abundance of the heart his mouth speaks. And so issues of the heart can be buried. Like it says in the scripture, Jesus said that, you know, there's good that comes from it, depends on what's in your heart, and there's bad. And usually you can tell what's in your heart based on what comes out of your mouth. It can be bitterness. It can be, like I said, unforgiveness, rejection, pride. And I think that the reason why I want to deal with this is because once we understand what's in our hearts, then we need to understand how to deal with those issues. Whether it does have to do with trauma, whether it does have to do with, you know, you don't understand how to study the word or the Bible, and so you say things out of ignorance and all these different things because of there's been so much infiltration of syncretism. When you talk about Christianity, there's a little bit of this and a little bit of that. And I'm just going to touch on a lot of things that will never get old. And what I mean by that, these things will always be, there's nothing new under the sun. These things will always be discussed. These things will be prayed about and dealt with. And pray for me as I'm teaching some of these subjects that, not so that just to improve the platform that I'm on, and I thank Bishop Cook for this, the Spirit of Life, but to really help those and help myself. Because a lot of times when I study, many times when I study, I am either dealing with the stuff that I'm dealing with, that I'm teaching about, I'm sorry, or I am in the place where God is having me go into a place of intercession and interaction with this topic. So when I thought about Jesus talking about the issues of the heart, it's one of those things that's always a fresh topic. It's going to always be relevant to what we're looking at. And let's just start with our own self. Let's start with our own selves. Like every program, I always say, whatever scripture that I am reading today, make it your own. Make it something that God is speaking to you specifically about. A corporate word is really what I always ask him to give me because I know everything that relates to me does not relate to everyone. At the same time, sometimes what I'm teaching corporately is for me as well, and this is one of those topics. So I want to also go to Proverbs 4. And verse 23, but I'm going to read it in a couple of different versions. just so you can see how in different versions, most of the versions I'm going to read, like the English ESV and the King James, they all say heart. But there's like two, I think, that say thought, right? So above all else, guard your heart, for everything you do flows from it. That's the NIV. The New Living Translation says, guard your heart above all else, for it determines the course of your life. So the reason for me reading different versions is for you to get an understanding and a depth of this scripture, however it's speaking to you, not to change anything, but to, based on whatever the translation and version I'm reading, whatever sticks to you the most. NIV, the New King James Version says, keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it springs the issues of life. The word spring is used a lot, flows the springs of life. And I just want everybody to think about their own situation and how their own situation and how when things kind of just, have you ever someone who's trying to hide a hurt and all of a sudden it, whatever they're talking about just springs forth, it just comes out of their mouth. And sometimes it's how they live their life, if they're bitter, if they have unforgiveness, or if they're a sweet person, a kind person, a compassionate person, these are the things that are in their heart. So it usually comes out in some kind of way. They're caring. It doesn't matter all these other things they have to do. A lot of times you can, if you're looking at a person's life and you know them well enough to know, okay, the mistakes they made, and you really see them as Christ sees them, then what you'll always be able to see the good in a person. I'm telling you, even if they are constantly messing up, if the Holy Spirit is leading you to be in a relationship with that person, or you might be working with that person, He'll always allow you to see their heart, because usually it's something that most people don't see that they're guarding, but you'll see it because you're seeing through the eyes of Christ. And so these are the things that flow from their lives. These are the things that they talk about. That, you know, some people have done a whole lot of dirt and still doing a whole lot of dirt, but God, the Holy Spirit, will allow you to see their heart. And so guard your heart above all else, for it is a source of life. That's another verbiage, source of life. Keep your heart with all caution, because from it is the outgoing of life. Keep thine heart with the utmost care. For out of these are the issues of life. Carefully guard your thoughts. This is the one I was saying, talking about guarding your thoughts, which leads to a scripture in 2 Corinthians 10, talking about taking every thought captive, which I will go to. With all watchfulness, keep thy heart, because life issueth from it. Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. Be careful how you think. Your life is shaped by your thoughts. That's another one, the Good News Translation. So above all those, guardeth thy heart, for out of it are the issues of life. Above every charge, keep your heart. See, it's depending on the translation, they are emphasizing certain things. So as you are, if you're led to go back to this scripture, to this verse, whatever translation speaks to you, begin to look at that and pray and meditate on that. Guard your heart above all this. The one about thoughts got my attention. I'm going to go to 2 Corinthians 10. I'm reading from the Amplified, verses 4. And many people are familiar with this. 2 Corinthians 10, verse 4 through 5. The weapons of our warfare are not physical weapons of flesh and blood. Our weapons are divinely powerful. And for the destruction of fortresses. We are destroying sophisticated arguments and every exalted and proud thing that sets itself up against the true knowledge of God. And we are taking every thought and purpose captive to the obedience of Christ. And that's the key. We have to take those thoughts captive. When it talks about guarding your heart and with all diligence, and in some translations it says guard your thoughts. Be careful of the thoughts and take those thoughts captive. Don't let just any thought traffic in and out of your life, because it is basically what you think is what you do and what you believe. And it's based on what your worldview is. And I think that that's one of the things that we have to be, those terms are interchangeable, hearts and thoughts, thoughts and hearts. when you look at the scripture. One of the things I also want people to understand in this specific verse in 2 Corinthians, where we are destroying sophisticated arguments and every exalted and proud thing that sets itself up against the true knowledge of God. So think about all the different philosophies, all the different hypes and ideologies that we hear right now. Every time you turn around, there's some new theology. There's some new ideology that has crept in, and that is why I'm going to teach on New Age and how it has entered into the church with all these different religions and things that have merged into Christianity, and it seems like it's just a big bunch of confusion, and people don't know what to believe, and people have created their own belief system. And so one of the things that I will want to bring out and share, and probably have some kind of open forum when we begin to talk about New Age, because that has a lot to do with our thought processes. That has a lot to do with our perspectives and our worldview, and even especially our relationship with others and our relationship with God. Why we have to guard our hearts. And there's another point. I don't want people to be afraid of examining yourself, although that has not been a scripture that I have thought of tonight. But I'm going to look that up really quick so we can go and see what it talks about, examining ourselves. And that points to, once again, how do we keep our heart with all diligence? I mean, that's a great question somebody might ask, but I think it starts with, first of all, the Word of God and examining our hearts and assessing ourselves. But let me find the scripture real quick while I talk to you all. Thank God for technology. Everything is right in front of me to look this up, because I always go back to the Word. There's always a scripture that's going to be relevant to, and it's in 2 Corinthians 13 and 5. So examine yourselves to see whether you are in the faith. Test yourselves. Do you not realize that Christ Jesus is in you? And I want to, let's see if I can talk about the context of it. So in verses 4 it says, examine yours, for he was indeed crucified in weakness, yet he lives by God's power. And though we are weak in him, yet by God's power we will live with him to serve you. Examine yourselves to see whether you are in the faith. Test yourself. Can't you see for yourself that Jesus Christ is in you unless you actually fail the test? And so that's the Berean Study Bible. And once again, there's all these different verses in front of me that give a different translation. Examine yourselves is crucial to being able to understand and know the issues in your heart. And they can be varied versus you versus someone else. Even when we start to talk about relationships and why our relationships are not solidified, or why we do have bond with others and versus those we may not, a lot of times it stems back to the issues in the heart. Especially the most important relationship is that with the Lord. So I'm going to talk about these things, and I'm going to take it back to the scripture, of course, and then give my commentary and qualify by saying it is only my commentary. It is not law. I'm not an expert, but these are the things that, you know, that God deals with me about. These are the reasons, you know, God deals with people about obedience, and he deals with people about disobedience and cognitive dissonance, and that's one of the things we're going to talk about, how you'll think something, but you do totally the opposite of what you believe. And these are we have to become so knowledgeable about mental health that if I'm going to sound like a broken record. One of the reasons we started this show was called Walking Wounded, was from a place of brokenness in my own life, but also from brokenness to healing. And it just gave me such a sensitivity to other people who were wounded, who were hurting in the body of Christ. And I realized these kept people from their destinies, kept people from their purposes. And I said, God, I know there's a practical answer so that people can really be healed. Therein comes the deliverance remix, which God has been dealing with me about. And I've been studying mental health and trauma and all kinds of things for about 7 or 8 years in a row, and even done some counseling, and in counseling, which I shared the last show, and am a big advocate for it. But we got a lot of work to do in that area. A lot of hearts are broken in that area. A lot of people are depressed and stay depressed. Some people are dealing with chronic depression and chronic personality disorders and things of that nature in the body of Christ. We see it every day, but, you know, he is a healer. You know, Jesus died for our healing, and I believe I know he uses many, some of us are called to this. So that's one of my burdens, I will, you know, if you couldn't tell, is that aspect of us being whole spiritually and mentally, and that we can be vital in the body of Christ and thrive and learn from each other. In Psalms 51 and 6, you desired faithfulness even in the womb, but you taught wisdom in the secret place. I don't think that's the scripture. Hold on. 51. Oh, it's saying how God desires for us to be truthful in the inward parts. Behold, you delight in truth in the inward being, and you teach me wisdom in the secret heart. So this is David talking about how he, you know, was in a place of repentance in Psalm 51. And that verse specifically got my attention, is like he desires truth in the inward parts. No matter what we're going through. So I feel like this is, once again, he wants us to understand who we are. That's why it's important for us to examine ourselves. That's taking every thought captive. All these scriptures that I brought up. And so sometimes it can be pretty brutal. And one of the things that I believe that we should be taught is how we should bear one another's burdens in this area of exposing our heart and knowing where our heart is, knowing that, you know, I can pray for you, but I think that God has will enable many of us, some of us are probably already doing it, is to really be able to deal with a person's heart issues. That's the level of discipleship that I know God has called me to. I do it without even blinking, because I really feel like people feel crippled and disabled in this area as it pertains to church, the body of Christ, because we want to throw a quick fix to everything, and by throwing a scripture or a prayer on it, when it's really, we got to get in the trenches and sit with people until they heal, until they believe. There's sometimes their whole belief system is bred from a place of trauma. And so how can they really believe something even if they read it every day? It's not reality to them. But I believe God has put people in the lives of those who are broken, and more people are coming. They are coming. It's not just people that have been raised in churches. Actually, some of those are the victims, people that have been raised in church all their life, and all they know is the religion of it all, but they don't know relationship, and they desperately want it, and some people are at the place of giving up. But I think it's really hard. It's really time. It's overdue, actually, to have those hard conversations, and God train us so that we can train others, and so that we can, you know, bring some more souls to the kingdom. And save some that are already in the kingdom, that are hanging on by the very edge. So this is about the issues of the heart. I think I have, let's see, in Galatians. And I believe that once you begin to examine yourself and be honest with yourself, then you can be honest with God. And I believe that we, through the Holy Spirit, we are enabled and empowered to be able to dig in those hard places and examine ourselves and be honest with what's going on with us. In Galatians 4, let me go to the, it's a fruit of the Spirit, and I'm going to talk about self-control. And you might wonder, like, what has self-control got to do with issues of the heart? Well, I believe,
everything.
Word has to say. Everything, exactly. When he brought it to me, he was like, there's some accountability here. And so we have to work on our own salvation with fear and trembling. And so I believe that when it comes to, when it comes to working on these things and examining ourselves and not allowing ourselves to be victims, you know, once we get empowered, that self-control is a fruit of the Spirit. So, and the Lord will help us deal with these things. So let me read this. I feel like I'm fumbling. Gentleness, okay. So I thought I had it up here, but I'm going to read verses 22 to 23 in Galatians 5. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things there is no law. For those who belong to Jesus Christ have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. See, those things, the passions and desires, they come from the heart. So when you talk about the issues of the heart, you need self-control amongst all those other things. So that's why he had me deal with that, or just mention that, that we have to be able to deal with ourselves in this place. Self-control is something that we do have. You know, have you ever thought about something you're passionate about and something that you get heated about? It could be anything, for depending on who you're talking to. And one of the things I realize is that that comes to me a lot of times when I start talking what's in my heart. I hear bitterness, I hear anger, I hear impatience, I hear all this stuff, and the Lord allows me to hear that. He said, that's in you. He said, you know you have the Holy Spirit, and self-control is the fruit of the Spirit. You have to control your mind, right, by taking every thought captive. Renew your mind to the Word. Be transformed by the Word. So it's like all these, I start hearing like a list of scriptures, not because, and they empower me, not because I don't take them seriously. I know they're God-breathed. I know they're inspired by God, by men who wrote them. So they are very relevant to my everyday life. I'll just share this with you. Right before this show, it's like we have to be careful of even the things that we deal with every day. As we minister, everyday life impacts our ministry. And sometimes it's trying. It's trying. You feel like you're living two lives because you see such contrary things going on in your life. But I believe that has to do with the issues of the heart. God can give us peace in the middle of storms, and he has given me peace in the middle of storms. He has shut my mouth. He has told me to shut my mouth, and he has shut my mouth. So, and then at the same time saying, this is what's in your heart. We got to deal with this, you know, and it's not going away. It's getting worse, you know. You do have the Holy Spirit. Like he said, like Paul said, you belong to Christ. You've been crucified. Those passions and desires have been crucified with him. And if they did, let them stay dead. Don't deny that they're there, because then you're going to have to get healed in some areas and deal with them. But at the same time, don't let them have dominion over your life. We do have power. We are empowered to do a whole lot. So as I begin starting this month, talking about the issues of life, I will be teaching on unforgiveness, rejection, anger. I mean, not anger, I'm sorry. I'm going to talk about where is joy, and have an honest conversation about what joy is versus what we think it is versus what God says it is. You hear that? What we think it is, what God says it is, and what others think it is. And we got all these different opinions floating around, and the influence of the Word of God has to be first and foremost. And a lot of times it's not. It's just not. And if we're honest, we're not. So I am so ready, Bishop, to have these honest, hard conversations. I know that there'll be times that I'll just be teaching, and I won't necessarily, unless they want to, interact. But I'm having them as I teach. And like I'm peeling an onion, and there's layers and layers that come off. And if anybody knows, if they're sensitive to onions, there will be tears. So, and I feel like just when I started to teach about love, boy, I didn't realize what I had begin to reveal in my own heart. And so I want to break up the fallow ground. And I think that, you know, that when he talks about breaking up the fallow ground, he talks about things in our hearts. That's a heart reference, breaking up fallow ground, breaking up hard places. The Word is like a hammer, and the Word does that well. But at the same time, the Word is oil, and it is water, and it is life. So we're going to talk about, and it brings healing, and it brings maturity and growth. And I believe that Of course, there's going to be some things that I will be transparent about because that's just how I teach. But I also want people to just feel free and open doors to the Lord in your relationship with him, and be free to share that. I'm coming up with topics. I mean, Bishop, I'm not just coming up with topics, but even titles like I did with the Love Platform.
Yes.
There may be a couple of weeks where I'll do something called Breaking Up Fallow Ground.
Hallelujah.
And it has to do with the ground of our hearts, the things that are hard. Bringing it back to the garden references, if many of us were raised, I was raised with my grandparents, and so they had a huge garden, and I remember how
mm-hmm.
they had to cultivate the earth before they even put
the
seed
yeah.
in the ground. Yeah. So I know that's what God's doing with me. Thank God for this platform right now. Like I said, there's so many good things that have come out of my own therapy, some layers that are coming off, and I thank God that I can be poured into as well as pour out. I still got a ways to go, but I just thank God for me being able to see growth right now and be challenged by the things that he's going to have me teach on for our leaders. I really have a heart for leaders. At the same time, I think that there is a discipleship for leaders. I think sometimes we are always doing the discipling, but we need to be discipled.
Say that. I know that's right.
We do. And we have to realize, when I see so much mess that we still see, I'm like, okay, so where's accountability?
Yeah, so
really
the pastors need some discipling. Yes.
Yeah, and we should be open to it. We should be open to it. There should be more of it. And I think that that's going to be more apparent. I think, God hears our cries. I'm like, yes, we need more of that. So there's going to be a topic I'm going to talk about, abuse of authority. And this is going to touch on the accountability. It's not going to just be me complaining and citing different things in social media. I'm not going to even talk about that. It's more about how it's supposed to be versus what it is. I'm going to talk about the fallout, the scattering of sheep, and different things that we see. So I think that's going to be one of the hardest ones I do, because I think when God shows us, God shows us the problem, but I also believe and know he shows us the solution at the same time. And it may not be what we want to see or what we think we should see, but so as I delve deep into that topic and the one about trauma and the different types of trauma in the body, not just in the body of Christ, but this is, I'm talking to servant leaders that are still dealing with trauma, that are dealing with the congregation, maybe that's very prevalent. Or I know that with Bishop Cook, she deals with the homeless a lot. And I know she sees all kinds of things, as well as Deacon Williams, when he talks about different ones in his profession that he's dealt with. And so I believe that we can be the balm and that we are the balm, actually. We are healing. But I said, Lord, why do you want me to teach this? I'm dealing with this myself in a lot of ways. And he said, because it's multiplying. It's multiplying. And I said, okay. And he said, and we have to be strong enough to just do simple things to know what we can do to start. This isn't everybody's burden, but for those that are in leadership in some way, even if it's just something they touch on, they need to be educated about it. I remember Bishop Cook and I had this conversation years ago about mental health. And we were talking about, she said she believes that should always be a key part of ministerial training. And she said it just should be. It shouldn't be an option. You know, if you get a degree or if you got any kind of training, you need to go and learn, understand about mental health and depression and different things. She said we've seen it all. We've always seen it, but I don't think we knew what to do with it, and we called it everything, but what it should have been
except
called.
Except what it was.
So in that, we've done a lot of damage. So I am going to talk about that. And I basically have the rest of the year planned out, and I thank God for giving me this, because when I started thinking about this a couple of days ago, I was like, well, Lord, what do you want me to teach? And he was quiet. And then I talked to Lester about what should I teach, and Lester was like, you might want to wait on certain things. Don't teach something that he said you're still learning about. He said, sit on it for a while. And so there's a couple of things I'm studying. But the Lord was saying, as I was just sitting and thinking, I was like, Lord, he said, issues of the heart, issues of the heart. And he said, all these topics are always going to point back to the issues of the heart. You're referencing scriptures once again, he said, and they are what I want you to teach for the rest of the year. So I said, okay. And I'll have different titles, and some of them will be series. Some of them will be just one, you know, one-time teaching. To unpack it as best as I can, so I'm going to need everybody's prayers when you think about me.
Yes.
Think of whatever God tells you to pray. But this, a person, I don't consider myself a teacher, actually. My husband is definitely, that's his mantle. I can teach if I have to, but I'm learning to, I think there's a level of discipleship that I've always done, and teaching is a part of it. And so, I don't even think about it. I think about that person. I think about, you know, what God is saying to me about them, and willing to hold their hands, because I realized through my own experience that healing doesn't happen overnight. That takes time.
No, it doesn't.
It takes time. And it really takes time. And people need to be okay. Leaders need to be okay with the fact that it takes time. And the people that are suffering need to be okay with the fact that not only does it take time, but somebody's going to be here with me.
That's right.
Somebody in the flesh, not just Jesus, you know, but
right.
Somebody who understands and who's not going anywhere. So
yes.
I think he's birthing some other ideas even as I'm talking. About
amen.
About this burden that I've had for a while. I think as long as Bishop Cook has known me. So it started with prayer. Started with, you know, as a prophet, there's other things he uses me for, but it's turning into something else now. And so I thank God for evolving. And I thank God for when I teach you guys or when we share. It's coming back to me. And I thank
amen.
God for that. In the face of COVID and a lot of things, some of the relationships or some of the ways we used to see things have really drastically changed, but God is not. And that's what I'm thankful for. He has not changed.
Yes.
Just because the sceneries and of our daily lives have changed, perspective, our government's changed, you know, because of administration, and our environments have changed, but he has not. He said, I have not. I never changed. I change it.
That's right.
So this is
right.
What's relevant. So as God feeds me, I will be bringing corporate things, and some things will be stuff that we see every day and deal with every day. And I pray, and I do believe that it'll be relevant to somebody's life.
Yes.
That's listening and will be listening. But just wanted to mention that tonight, everyone, about the issues of the heart. Once again, I will be talking about. The topic is going to be called Too Much Salt, and it has to do with New Age. I will be talking
all
about
right.
Abuse of authority and leadership. I will be talking about the Deliverance Remix, which has to do with trauma in the body of Christ.
Yeah.
And how we deal with it.
Bishop,
I turn the rest of the show over to you. I'm sorry if I was kind of short, but I don't
oh,
want to
no.
say too much.
You're doing this God's way, and the way, and however He wants it to go down, I want you to be obedient always. First of all, we want to thank you for this wonderful introduction to your teachings for the rest of the year. And if there is anyone in the studio that would like to make a comment, that would like to chime in, put a praise on it, you are more than welcome to do so at this time by pressing your 1, and I will address you by your area code and the last 4 digits of your phone number. If you are in our chat rooms and you would like to talk to Prophetess Vanessa, you can type in your comment, question, at this time, and I will relay that to her. But while I wait, I just want to say I really love how you made it very clear that no matter what we're going through, what the affair of the heart is, we've got to own it. Mm-hmm. So many of us, we remain in this stagnant pool because we won't get up and come out of the cemetery of sin. You know what I mean? We like holding on to our stuff, some of us.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
But we've got to own it. We've got to own it. And we've got to see, God can deal with our anger. God can deal with our questions. God can deal with any issue of the heart that we have. But he just wants us to continue to talk to him. You see? And
that's
then
right.
I truly believe that, you know, we have to stop and think about who really causes these issues to arise in our life. Unforgiveness, pride, you know, jealousy, things
mm-hmm.
that cause people to have issues of the heart, you know, offense. It's not of God. We know that. So if it's not of
mm-hmm.
God, we know who is really at work. So what we need to do is understand that when we are loving to please God and living to please God, then we must be on guard. We must take accountability for our own thoughts. We must take accountability for our
yeah.
own actions. We must take accountability for our own words. We can't be going around saying, well, look, you know, Lord, I only feel this way because so-and-so said or so-and-so did. That's not acceptable
mm-hmm.
to God.
That's right.
Jesus is going to ask us all one simple question. Who do you say that I am? Did you come to me as your Lord and your Savior with your issues, or did you try to work it out on your own?
Mm-hmm.
Did you come to me with your prayers, not just for the other people, but for yourself? Did you come to me asking what you could do to make the situation better? You know, these are the kind of things we need to be asking ourselves now and answering for ourselves now so we don't have to be standing in front of the Lord with a bigger issue. And that's no admission to the kingdom.
That's true.
So I want to just thank you. I'm searching. Okay, yes, you were very clear. And that's what I love about your teachings. You are always so on point and on, you know, and on the money. So, you know, and your messages don't need, you are an excellent teacher, by the way. So don't ever say that you're not a teacher, because you definitely are. If prophets don't teach, I don't know what they do. Because if you're going to correct, you have to teach.
That's true. You do teach.
Okay.
Yeah.
So anyway, that's just my 2 cents worth. You know what I'm saying. But I just want you to know how much I enjoyed the program on tonight. And I'm looking forward mm-hmm. to everything that God is going to be saying through you with this, because yeah, it just seems like in this day and time, people just have issues. They're hurting. They're angry. You know, they're angry at each other. We're angry at each other. They're angry at God.
Yeah.
They're angry at everything, you know.
Yeah, yeah.
But, you know, that's not a part of the abundant life. So what we have to do is begin to do the things that will put us in a position to receive that abundant life. And that's through,
right.
like Prophetess Vanessa said, through prayer, through loving others, through, you know, fasting, through staying in our word, through sharing our word, the word, you know. That's the things we have to do so that God will always get the glory, because we're not doing this just to say we have a relationship with Jesus. We want everybody to have a relationship with Jesus and have a healthy relationship with him.
There you go. That healthy part.
Yeah, because too many of us want to take, you know, we have these issues of the heart, but we want to deal with them like we deal with man. You know what I'm saying? We want
right.
to deal with them
yeah.
like, you know, we want to deal with them like, you know, go up there and be all coy and everything. But that's not what God has required of us, told us to do. So I just want to thank you, Prophetess, and I just pray that you continue to have a beautiful and blessed week. And we can't wait to hear you again. Hallelujah. Prophetess will be on again this month. And then next month, I'm giving all of these wonderful servant leaders a month off to recoup, regroup, because they're so faithful. So on behalf of all of us from the Spirit Alive Network, we pray that you continue to acknowledge Christ in all that you do. And from our household to yours, be ye transformed. Good evening.
Thank
and God
you.
Bless you.
Good night.
Good night, honey.